Driving it home with Patty Vasquez, Patty Vasquez.
From global conflicts to greenhouse gases, the folks refusing to wear masks says, and politicians getting caught grabbing ass says, she's driving it home with Patty Vasquez.
Let's slide into the weekend, everybody. It's been quite the week of news and conversation, and I'm so thrilled that you're here. Again, I am broadcasting from Shirley Ryan Ability Labs, where Declan has made so many incredible strides this week. And I mean that literally. His mobility has improved. And you know what's incredible is that his mood has always been like, oh, okay, I guess this is happening. I mean, if I had to have my legs cast from the ankles to the thighs and had to lay in bed and then have to work 3 to 4 hours a day trying to stay strong, build my upper body strength, I've been like, I'm done. And this kid has worked so hard. He impresses me and inspires me every single day. And again, I want to thank everyone for all the kind words and positive energy and the prayers that you're sending my way. I can't thank you enough. I'm in a good mood today. It's sunny. It's beautiful in downtown Chicago. But I will tell you, there is nothing like being back in my own neighborhood. I came into the studio yesterday, hung out with Tom Carmack and Jerry Walski, two of my best friends, and got to go to the Gale Street Inn. You guys, I know that you've heard me talk about the Gale Street Inn before, and maybe it's been a while. They were closed for a little bit. They were assessing. They're rebuilding. There's a little bit of construction going on in the restaurant, and they reopened yesterday, which is why I jumped in the car. I'm like, I need to get to the Gale Street Inn, where I have been enjoying celebrations and incredible meals since I was 6 years old. And last night, not only was it not disappointing, it was such a glorious night. I mean, I was geeking out, smiling the whole time. I was like, I had to sit on my hands not to hug everyone that works there. Just incredible food. I had a half rack of some of the best ribs in Chicago. George hates it when I say the best ribs in Chicago. That's how humble he is. His ribs are incredible. And oh man, that sauce. I'm already hungry again. And I had some fried shrimp and au gratin potatoes and that, oh my God, that bread with the sweet butter. I'm sorry if I'm making you hungry. I had a butter pecan old fashioned, an espresso martini, and Jerry had the blackened salmon with dirty rice. It looks so good. And I didn't want to start stealing stuff off his plate, but I saw that Tom had left a little bit for me, so I had some of the mahi mahi. Anyway, that's what last night was like, and I'm so happy. I really am. Downtown, there's great restaurants, but nothing for me beats being at the Gale Street Inn. They are open. The bar area is open. The kitchen is open. They've got new items on the menu. The butter pecan old fashioned. The new bar manager, Daniel, he's a magician. So that was my evening last night after we wrapped up the show. So go to Gale Street. At Gale Street's website, make reservations. The bar area is open. They do have limited seating so that everyone is safe. But the Gale Street Inn is back with a vengeance. I don't know, that's a good way to put it. George doesn't have vengeance. He just has passion for making folks happy with incredible food. And by the way, speaking about a passion, our sponsor of Driving It Home with Patty Vasquez is Minocqua Brewery, as you know, and we're going to be joined in just a little bit by Kirk Bangstad, who not only has a passion for making great beer and hard seltzers, he is, of course, has a passion for keeping fascism and kicking fascism to the curb, keeping fascism out of Wisconsin, or at least maintaining it in the parts where it's already taken a stranglehold. So we'll talk to him coming up at 5:30, and of course, this conversation is yours. So give me a call, text, or call us at 773-763-9278. That's 773-763-9278. And would love to hear from you. And there is breaking news. Is that breaking news, sweetie? My husband was just pointing to the TV that the jury in the Alex Jones trial has awarded punitive damages to Sandy Hook parents for $45 million. outstanding. And this also, there's several things that happened here, and I'm sure there's more than I know of. But the two things that I'm sure of is, one, the January 6th committee is going to be very interested in these texts that did not exist before. I don't know how you don't just subpoena everyone's texts. I mean, everyone's. Anyone that was on the news or online that was able to, that has that many followers, that has that kind of a connection with the president, that was that vocal on January 6th, and for the last 4 years, this is what I've never understood about Trump voters, was that Trump was all in with guys like Alex Jones, who talked about Hillary Clinton selling body parts to feed somebody in a pizza place, or I don't even know. But this is a kind of this guy made millions and millions and millions of dollars off of people buying like supplements and his BS. And I almost said something else, but I don't want to get anyone in trouble. I don't have a dump butt in front of me, and I don't want to make Lady B work any harder than she already is. But there's that. And then there's even more. Like, the other things are crazy, right? Like, oh, that's nuts. And the people who believe that, you know, they just can't buy the Inquirer anymore. They don't go to grocery stores, so they're not standing in line going, oh, aliens kidnapped Oprah Winfrey, and that's why she's a billionaire. I don't know. But here's the thing, is that when they started going after the parents of children who were slaughtered in their classrooms, how do Republicans... And again, this is where I go to, like, we have been nice. We've been like, oh, we don't want to talk about gun control. We don't want to talk about abortion, because then they don't talk to the, you know, it makes them think that we're going to take things away from them. And yet, by doing that, we have given everything away, because they take it without asking. They just take. They take the slaughter of children as a price we must pay in order to have guns, without any restrictions whatsoever. They take the freedoms of women to have autonomy over their bodies because we were too afraid to say the word abortion. We were too afraid to ever have a conversation about it. Well, and we accepted their platitudes and their, no, a woman, you know, should be able to do what, you know, especially if she's raped or the victim of incest or if her life is on the line. They said that to us and we're like, okay, at the very least. And we accepted that when that shouldn't even be the bare minimum. The bare minimum should be women's freedom and the independence to make our own decisions over our bodies. And this jackhole, I don't even know what state he's from. I know that Heartland Signal has a story about a guy who says that the body inside a woman's body is not her own. A woman's body, the body, that's not a body. It's just, I'm sorry, it is not. And here's the thing. If it were true, and if you truly believe that a life will be lost if a woman does not incubate that body, then you also have to believe that if somebody can't find a match for their bone marrow or a vital organ, then you have to be strapped down to a table in order to save someone else's life. If that truly is a body, if that's a body with a social security number, with insurance, with the right to collect alimony, whatever it is, when you have to pay for a child support, if it's a body, if it's truly a person or a baby, then they qualify for all the things that a person with a body does. But they're inside a woman. We grow that person. I used to make this joke, and by the way, can I tell you how bothered I am that Chad Daniels' comedy is being used on TikTok? He's like, I've made people. Have you made people? I did that joke in 2003. I'm making a person. And I get it. Your religion and whatever you think. I made a person. Yeah, my husband gave me some stuff. That he, like, you know, they generate millions of them, guys. You guys generate millions of them, and you cast them aside on a sock when you're bored. I'm sorry. Your tablespoon of stuff is not the same as having to incubate a person. I am off the handle today. It's Friday. Can you tell I'm in a mood? All I know is Alex Jones is being ordered to pay $45 million in punitive damages. Georgia residents can now claim embryos as dependents on state taxes. And that's the thing, right? We said, well, then they should be able to claim taxes, right? Oh, yeah. So that's my fault? Because we're like, all right, then fine. Well, if they have a social security number. Oh, so we're the ones that made the problem. Okay. That does not seem like that's the case at all. Oh, I probably should check my phone. I'm having trouble with my text. We have Jim. Wait, is Jim on the line, Lady B? I'm not getting text today for some reason, but I think I'm getting, Yes. Hey, Jim, what's on your mind? Because I'm on fire and I'm yelling at my husband in the room, and he doesn't disagree. Hi.
I hope you all get home soon. I don't know how Alex Jones made a dang to begin with, but I was just going to comment on Kavanaugh. Have you heard that snippet today with White House and Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI? They said, well, he had about 20 cases of inappropriate sexual contact with these women. They were trying to contact the FBI. And who did they bring it to? They brought it to the biggest sexual offender in the United States, Trump. Now, you know he's going to back a sexual offender because, you know, he's already admitted it on the bus that he grabbed anybody he possibly could get his hands on. He's been sued by God knows how many women. But this nut, now think of this, the irony of this. These are the people who overturned Roe versus Wade. Trump with the upside-down Bible, a serial sexual offender. You've got Kavanaugh, a serial sexual offender. And apparently they're going to get away with it. And I just find it ironic and terrible, and I don't know what else to say. And Alex Jones, I never heard of Alex Jones. That's how in a cave I've been. I never heard of the guy until this court case. But I wonder how these people make the money. I can't understand how they make any dough. You know, when I think of all my hardworking relatives, tight on the job, Patty, you know, accidents and electrocuted and so on and so forth, and a nut like this could get 40 cents on $45 million talking insanity. Is something's rotten in Denmark. But I just want to say that about Kavanaugh. That was an interesting forte with Christopher Wray, you know.
Yeah.
How they covered it up.
For folks who don't know, the FBI received 4,500 leads on people who wanted to reiterate and corroborate that he was a sexual predator, and the FBI turned it over to the White House, turned it over to Trump's people. They wanted the guy there so that they could control the rights of not just women, but people to live their lives to their fullest, to love who they want, to make decisions on where their futures go. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. And to vote, to restrict the access to voting.
I hope you get home soon this week, Patty. Thank you.
2 weeks. Well, at least 2 weeks. All right. Thank you, Jim. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back with Dave and Hoffman Estates and Roosevelt, our friend. Our friends, all of our friends are calling in today. I appreciate that. And by the way, before I go, let me just say this before the break. I was sent a press release from the Chicago Fire Department from Local 2. Local 2, this is horrific. Okay, so we all know that monkeypox has been declared a public emergency. And the reason it's called a public emergency is, one, it's contagious. And yes, we know that in certain populations it tends to be transmitted more frequently right now, but also anyone can catch monkeypox. But Local 2, in their press release of the Chicago Fire Department, decided to say this. Local 2 has found out there is a member positive with monkeypox. The city confirmed there is a member with the virus. They said that twice, by the way. This is such a poorly written. I may never run for office again because I'm calling out Local 2, and we know how powerful they are, because if you're good with Local 2, you can do whatever you want, apparently. But here's what they say. 98% of monkeypox transmission has been sexual in nature between males. What was it? What? How about you say be safe? How about the rest of what you put in this press release? Wash your hands. Don't lick open wounds. Don't list pustule-filled rashes. Whatever it is, say fine. Those are the things that you shouldn't be doing. But why put this in here about gay men? Although the disease has been around for years and rarely deadly, please be vigilant using your PPE when on runs and providing patients with masks as well. I'm still trying to go back and figure out why the other part is even in here at all, except to highlight that they're telling you, I'm so angry. Okay, let's take a break here. I'm gonna take a breath and maybe go for a walk. I don't have time to, but anyways, 773-763-9278 is the number to join the conversation. Call or text us. We'll be back after this. I'm driving it home with me, Patty Vasquez, on WCPT 820 Heartland Signal.
Tom Hartman.
What is the positive message that Republicans are bringing Americans this year?
McConnell replied, Republicans should be 100% focused on Democrats and all the terrible things they're doing to this country.
And then when he was pressed, you know, well, won't you tell us at least what you're going to do? And McConnell said words to the effect of, well, when we get power again, we'll let you know.
Right. The Tom Hartman Radio Program. Weekdays 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on WCPT 820, where facts matter. Chicago's Progressive Talk. WCPT 820, where facts matter.
Hi, this is Kirk Bankstead from the Minocqua Brewing Company, and I sell progressive beer like AOC IPA and Bernie Brew, a lovingly irascible Democratic Socialist lager. A percentage of the proceeds of every beer I sell goes to helping keep Wisconsin blue and driving the Trump cult out of our state. Enjoy a great craft beer and help your dysfunctional neighbor to the north get its democracy back.
Buy yours at Beer on Central in Evanston, D&D Finer Foods in Evanston, Rogers Park Provisions, Provisions Uptown, and Beer Shop Oak Park. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
You want facts to matter? Want to hear some truth? Get your lazy ass down to the voting booth and vote! Justice on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, just vote. And we know that. I feel like the folks who listen, you're voting. Or if you're not, I would love to have a conversation with you. But I assume that since we always talk about how you need to vote, people are hesitant to call in and go, I don't vote, because you're afraid I'll yell at you. I won't. I would like to find out why. But on the line right now, we've got Dave from Hoffman Estates. Hey, Dave, what's on your mind, my friend?
Hey, Patty. Sounds like you might need to have a paper bag in there to do hyperventilate.
I might be watching too much news. I've never watched as much news in my life. I'm trapped in this room for the most part, you know? So, yeah, it's probably right. That's what it is. Now I know why.
Another breaking one. They said that cinema greenlit that climate deal, too.
So yeah. Thank God. I mean, I don't. I'm so flabbergasted by her need for the drama and to be like, she loves holding everything up, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm. Both her and Manchin. When you were talking about Kavanaugh and that, with that, isn't there a statute of limitations on these charges? You know, like, to impeach him?
I don't know about a statute of limitations as far as, like, not... Right, because they already went through the whole process. It was not available then. I don't know. I mean, this is something we definitely have to ask Renato. But it also, it seems to fall into, like, too bad, so sad, can't do anything about it sort of thing. Yeah. Except that I don't know what perjury or I don't know if there's enough energy and momentum to have another investigation, right? We're doing January 6th. I'm still thrilled about the Breonna Taylor charges yesterday. So who knows what Merrick Garland has going on that we thought was just, you know, done and dusted. Who knows?
Yeah. No, just curious. Probably even if they did try impeaching, it don't do no good right now when there's a majority Republican Senate. So that'd be another reason to get more Democrats in the Senate, and we could work out impeaching a couple of those Supreme Court. And then on that Alex Jones deal like that, they were talking, somebody either called in Jones or Joan was talking, that they're saying that he's trying to bury money into ghost businesses or some kind of stuff like that.
Yep.
Well, I remember when I signed, you know, they signed my parents' house and that back a few years. There was like a 2-year time frame yet that if they would have happened, that it was in the case like my dad was going in nursing home. And if he would have had to go on Medicaid or whatever, and after the 90 days or whatever, then they could have took it, you know, within the 2 years. Oh. I mean, they can't just say, "Well, this is Alex Jones." Well, this is okay. I mean, there's got to be a time frame that, you know, if they go after, you know, that they can still get this money. You know, regardless if he's trying to hide it in ghost businesses and ghost company or whatever, and that. But I don't know. It was nice to hear though, that he got nailed good, you know, and that, you know, with the punitive damage and that, and you know, and that lawyer for the parents there said that they want to make sure that he'll never do that again, you know, what he did. So that's,
well, not just him, but anyone. These and mostly dudes, and not that there aren't like some crazy broads out there who are manipulating people's emotions by spreading lies and hate, But it seems to be, you know, whether it's Shapiro, Ben Shapiro, or an Alex Jones and all these people that like just are dismissive and they marginalize people and then venture into these conspiracy theories that are so disgusting. And really, you know, there's, I can't remember this, these studies about people are likely to believe those things, like these magical, ridiculous things are just easier for people to accept rather than like life just sucks and you get a kind of sort of suck it up and go, okay, what am I going to do today? But it's easier to go, oh, yeah, they're totally eating baby parts. It's just insane.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
one last one so you can get to the others. I was reading this morning a story where Ted Cruz, that he slammed his boot on the table there in opposition to the FBI guidelines on symbols that indicate extremist groups. Just kind of wondering, is Ted taking a page out of Nikita Khrushchev back in 1960 when he banged his shoe on the delegate desk, you know, or is it a case of history repeating or at least imitating itself here?
Right.
Just a thought.
Gotcha.
Have a good weekend and everything. Be well. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you so much. Take care. And we've got Roosevelt on the line. Hey, Roosevelt, how you doing today?
Teddy,
oh, no, am
Teddy.
I still? Hey, hi, Roosevelt.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yes, I can. Hi.
Best for your son, your family, and everybody in your family. I wanted to talk about Harris Faulkner. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her last name right. Harris Faulkner. She had an interview with Joe Manchin like maybe 2-3 days ago. Did you see that interview?
I did not.
You got to look at it. I mean, okay. that wasn't an interview. She lost her composure. She lost her cool because here's the thing. Even Joe Manchin, I'm no fan of Joe Manchin, but he defended the what the Democrats are doing. And she says, do you not? I got to give him credit. He took her to task. He said, you're not in favor of all the things that are in there that are positive for our people in the United States. You're not in favor of cleaning up the air, you know, the thing that they passed. What is that called? The mini Biden...
The CARES Act? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it, the one that Joe Manchin and the one you were talking about, that the senator from Arizona, what's her name?
Sinema.
Yeah, Sinema.
It's okay. Hey, I know there's so much. Yep.
You got to look at that interview, and I suggest everybody look at it. I mean...
That's amazing. I'm reading some of the transcript. Yeah, she lost her mind. She's like, because he said, yeah, that's doing something good for America. Yep. She said, my father served. Yeah.
That's exactly what Joe Manchin told her. You know, you're not in favor of doing stuff good for America and our people. But they're so mad that there's all these things that were just happening just this week. That you had some reporter asking if it's a coincidence that our president had COVID and at the same time he was working from home and all that stuff. Look at all the stuff he did while he was sick. That tells you something. And you had when the other, his predecessor, when he was sick, he had helicopters, a team of doctors. He made a big...
Yep.
He made a big thing of it. And here... This guy, meaning Biden, he's 4 years older than him, and he's working from home. Took care of the right hand man for Osama bin Laden. Took care of him, and as he said, and that's another thing we got to repeat. There's been like close to 50 consecutive days of gas prices going down, but now you don't hear Fox News saying anything about it. But when the prices were going up, oh my God, it was it was horrible what he was doing. But now he don't get any credit when they go down. When they go up, gas goes up.
Yeah. What about the jobs growth? Unemployment is at 3.5%, and Fox News is like, oh, well, people leaving the jobs market. Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned it. And you twist themselves into pretzels, meaning Fox News and all the Republicans. Look at, what's his name? Mitch McConnell. I mean, and here's the thing I've always wondered. You know, these guys point out on how bad the Democrats, how bad it's going to be for the economy, for jobs. And they're always saying that. But if you're a Republican, don't you want things to go bad for the Democrats? You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? They criticize the Democrats of what they're passing. And they say, well, the economy and the debt and all that. And Biden mentioned all that. You know, we lowered our debt. We, you know, lowered our like you said, our unemployment. And we're doing all this stuff. But as far as the Republicans, Mitch McConnell says, well, this is going to happen. And that's going to happen. Well, then let it happen, because this is what you guys come out smelling like roses, because the Democrats are going to ruin this country. And then, you know, when it comes down to when it comes down to defense, look at all the stuff that our last two Democratic presidents have done. Killed Osama bin Laden, killed his right-hand man. And now he's working on getting that young lady from Russia. You know what I'm saying? And the idiot that was in there criticized the young lady and stood by Putin. There again, the Putin puppet. You know what he said? That she shouldn't have been bringing marijuana and the sovereignty of Russia and all this BS. Stood by Putin again, as always. As always.
Yep.
So that's what I wanted
to
say. And like I said, we got to continuously mention and like Jonas DeZito said, we got to continuously point out the things that this guy has done, meaning Biden. I mean, look at all the stuff he's done. And then stopped the war, brought the kids back. And that's another thing. He took care of that guy, Zawadi. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his, you know, the right-hand man for Osama bin Laden. Without no casualties, not even his family. Nobody was even a scratch. Took care of that guy.
Yep.
And he waited. That's another thing. We have a president that waited so there wouldn't be any casualties, so there wouldn't be anything. So they can't criticize. The only thing they came up with was, oh, did it really happen? The Congress should investigate to see if he killed the right guy. I mean, come on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
No, they're doggy paddling. They are struggling to get a foothold on something negative, and without that, they have to keep spinning their wheels in the mud.
You know what?
Good luck to them.
I'm gonna close it with this. And when everything else fails, they'll go back to Hunter Biden. That's their ace in the hole. Hunter Biden. You know, they'll spin
exactly.
it
exactly.
Yep, so that's
100%. Have a great weekend, Roosevelt. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Stay tuned. We'll talk to you soon. Let's take a break here and come back with Kirk Bangstad from Minocqua Brewery with a wonderful announcement about a new line of beer. I do like a Kolsch. More after this on Driving It Home with me, Patty Vasquez. 773-763-9278 is the number to call or text. And we'll be right back after this on Heartland Signal.
Putin, stop these attacks immediately.
The ban on Russian oil imports.
Ban the oil come from Russia. Yep.
News that happens next will happen on WCPT 820.
Because facts matter. You're listening to WCPT 820.
Hi, this is Kirk Bankstead from the Minocqua Brewing Company, and I sell Choice Hard Seltzer, an all-natural grapefruit-flavored booze that you can enjoy for only 100 calories a can. Percentage of the proceeds of every can of Choice Hard Seltzer you buy goes to reproductive rights organizations in the Chicagoland area. Enjoy a light, refreshing hard seltzer this summer and support reproductive freedom at the same time.
Buy yours at Beer on the Wall, Arlington Heights, Woodman's in Bloomingdale, Kenwood Liquors in Homer Glen, and more to come. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Some got busy. Some got lazy. Some got creative. Some went crazy. Couch potatoes, avoiding respirators. We all got pretty big round the equator. Shopping online, working online, zooming all day. No pants, that's fine. Hiding at home,
from civilization. Here's what I did.
Man, I have to tell you, after the pandemic and then now being on lockdown in my son's hospital room for about the last 5 weeks, one of the things I looked forward to yesterday, Jerry Walsky was like, I brought some Kamala Stout in the studio. So I maybe was in the kitchen, maybe sipping some of that. And joining me on the line right now is the mastermind behind Minocqua Brewery. It is Kirk Bangstad. And hi, first of all, hey, I miss you, Kirk. How are you doing?
I miss you, too. I'm so happy that you're out of the emergency with your kid in the hospital. Sorry to hear that.
We've got a couple more weeks. Yeah. Thank you. He's got a couple more weeks. Hopefully he's gaining his strength. We don't know what happened yet, but we are moving in the right direction. So the people here are amazing.
Nice.
And by the way, I really did enjoy a nice, I need to take the edge off once in a while, as you can imagine. And I'm excited. I have not yet tried the lime choice hard seltzer, by the way. So you've got grapefruit and lime so far, right?
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
We just launched this new choice beer, and the reason we did that, it's a Kolsch, which is a great summer, easy drinking thing. I think it's got a little more flavor than a regular lager, but we did it because, hard seltzers, is definitely, there's more women that drink hard seltzer than men do. Men often drink more beer. We try to market to certain people, but we had a lot of men saying, we don't really love hard seltzer. We love the idea of giving a percentage of your, proceeds of your drink to help reproductive rights groups. But make a beer, gosh darn it. So we did.
Outstanding. And here's the thing is that, folks do want to support the work that you're doing. So I have to ask a couple things on my mind as far as, passion that you have. Being in an area of Wisconsin that is pretty solidly red, how has the reception been? How are things going with your location, well, with the battle with the board and in your area? Yes. How's it going?
Oh, man.
Like black tar parking lots and all these things. Yes.
Well, there's been a ton of stuff that happened, but before I even get into what's happening in Wisconsin, I wanted to mention what a cool thing it was that you were able to give some of my beer to Lori Lightfoot. Lori Lightfoot. I thought that was amazing.
Were you?
All of a sudden, I see a video of you giving her some of my beer, and all of a sudden, she's like, oh, we know that guy, or we go up to Minocqua every now and then. I think they go up to where I live. I think they might have a place up there or something. So I was like, I can't believe she knows about us. So that was so cool that you made that connection.
Well, not only that. Well, that was all Jerry. Jerry was like, I found out that Mayor Lightfoot was coming to the Jefferson Park Sunday Market, where I'm a volunteer. And Merrill, the Jefferson Park Sunday Market manager, was like, hey, I don't know if you're on good terms. And I'm like, I know it's hard to believe, but I actually get along with the mayor. And because there's a lot of, there's a lot of dynamics in politics. You've been there. And there are people that, like, I just can't with, But she was, so when she won, I was the only radio host that she spoke to in the 48 hours after her victory. She called me from her victory party. She had been on my show several times before while she was running. And Jerry was like, hey, I'm going to show up with a cooler of some of these beers. Why don't you tell her about choice? And that was how I was like, it was at the end and I was trying to get the spiel out and she was great. She was very gracious about it. And yes, not only was she familiar with you, but said that she had donated to your campaign when you ran, which I thought was cool too.
Yeah, that was so cool. And this was funny because we reposted that. So I was like, oh my God, the mayor of, we're still a small little company. I mean, we're not really, we're so progressive that we're getting a lot of pushback from the beer world, let's just say, and especially the distributor world. So we're still tiny. So when I heard that, I was like, we reposted that little video with Mayor Lightfoot. And then all of a sudden, a few Chicagoans were like, she's not a real liberal. She's not a real progressive. I'm like, you're talking to the owner of the Minocqua Brewing Company. We're in the deepest red part of Wisconsin. She's a Democrat, period. Like, you're freaking lucky that you can even, split hairs about how liberal somebody is in Chicago.
Oh, okay. Like, oh, my God, Kirk.
Perspective, guys.
You have hit the nail on the head. I will tell you, this is something we just talked about yesterday on the show, which is not only do progressives have, and I get it, right? She's running a city that has a deeply entrenched machine that has its tentacles everywhere, right? So she has to walk this line. And look, like I said, I'm not a fan of a lot of the things she does and her approach on a lot of things, but she stood up to Trump. She stands for choice. She stands for a lot of the ideals that we believe in. And the progressives in our city that are so quick to criticize, especially people of color, people in the LGBTQ community, it is astounding to me where they're coming from. And your perspective just hit the nail on the head in so many ways. And look, I'm so critical. But yeah, I'm like, yeah, we are fortunate to have somebody who will stand up to fascism. And she definitely does that.
I mean, for crying out loud, like Wisconsin owes basically Chicago like an entire debt of gratitude. We're sending our women to get reproductive health care right now to Chicago and yep. Rockford. You know, our whole state has to go to you guys and Minneapolis to just get simple reproductive health care right now. So, yeah, you're Chicago gets all the love from Wisconsin, and we're not gonna argue. We're not gonna argue the details. Anyway,
yeah, and look, right, we'll argue the details with her. But again, to your point about progressives, cannibalizing people who are trying to fight the good fight and sometimes waver from the path. I get it, and like I said, I have issues. But right now, you know, I'm running with what we've got. And when she says she's coming to our market, if we can elevate the market, if we can get the word out, Minocqua Brewery, I am running through that door, absolutely. And speaking of choice, by the way, how incredible is Kansas? I mean, like, I was weeping in my bed on Tuesday night knowing that not everybody hates women. I mean, that's how I felt.
Yeah, I mean, what an inspiring moment that was, that, you know, this actually could kind of turn the tide. I mean, we've been talking every couple months or so over the last year, and it's been so hard to stay motivated when, you know, you got Manchin and Sinema just like putting the kibosh on so many wonderful bills, that we want to get passed, and putting the kibosh on, killing the filibuster that we needed to do. And then, you know, all of a sudden they overturn Roe, and this one of the reddest states in the country just clobbers it in the right way. And like, this could actually take us out of the doldrums and get people to vote, you know, against fascism. And it's the worst reason why it has to happen. But I really do have hopes for November because of what happened in Kansas, for sure.
Yeah, I hope that we keep that energy, that momentum, and just that goal of what's possible. I think we have had so many body blows to democracy over the last few years that it was easy to believe that Kansas might turn their back on women. So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
It just was.
Yeah. I just hope we can do the same thing. You know, it's like in Wisconsin, I don't know how we're going to get out of this one for women, on the subject of Roe. Like, we're really hosed right now, as they say in Wisconsin.
That was the despair I was talking about. Like, right, that's how I felt going into Kansas. I'm like, oh God, how's this going to go? So you do have your primary coming up on Tuesday in Wisconsin. And it was interesting to me that all of the candidates in that congressional race that they're trying to unseat Ron Johnson, that all the front runners suspended their races and put all of their efforts and resources behind Mandela Barnes. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, so I'm of a couple different thoughts on that. So it looks like Ron Johnson, I mean, he's definitely in the running for the worst senator, you know, in the United States at the moment, potentially the worst senator Wisconsin's ever had. I mean, Joe McCarthy is a really high up there, but Ron Johnson is...
That's a good point.
But Ron Johnson is probably the most vulnerable Republican right now in the country. It looks like Fetterman is going to take... Pennsylvania, and so like this is the one that everyone's going to be focusing on. So there's going to be millions of dollars pouring into Wisconsin. I didn't like the fact that everybody dropped out because half these guys already spent like $10 million like to try to win the primary. You only got 2 weeks left.
Yeah.
Half the votes have, I mean, I don't know about
yes.
half, but a lot of absentee ballots have already been cast. So it's like you can't a lot of these people aren't going to like redo their votes. And you got people down the ticket running for lieutenant governor. You got people running for like state treasurer, secretary of state's a huge race because that's what the Republicans are going to try to use to screw up our elections. You know, and so these races that are down ballot that are state races, we need to get Democrats out in that primary in order to get the best candidate. And I don't think any Democrats are going to vote in the primary anymore. You know, it's like with only one Senate candidate there, I think people are going to stay home. And so that's why I think, you know, I'm happy everyone's supporting Mandela, but I'm also kind of bewildered by the fact that they just like people just like left the race 2 weeks left to go.
See, and that's the thing, like when I, you know, both of us have run for office and there's all kinds of things that happen a little bit different in my race. You know, that when I was running and I became aware that those that were in power wanted to make sure that I had no chance, they got a moderate. They got a police officer to run in our race. I mean, that was, you know, he was promised by Robert Martwick, the senator, that, hey, if you run and someday you go to law school, you know, I'll help you be a judge. Like those kinds of deals were made. And people told me like, hey, you should meet with Joe and try to talk him out of running for office and Duplishin, right? They were like, oh, you should really meet with him and before things got started. But I was like, you know, first of all, it was my first race. And I was like, well, you know, I really believe in people running if they believe in it. And Joe's told me since that he probably couldn't have been talked out of it, although he did later apologize to me for running because he took 22% of the vote and I lost by 4. But whatever. But there are like – but once you're that close, I remember 2 weeks before the end of the race, one of the campaign workers, actually one of the office workers, the outreach director for Lindsay LaPointe's office – came to my home begging me to drop out of the race. And he went to Joe Duplishin. He released a press release that she was a really bad person, that she was unethical, that she was like all these horrible things about her. And I'm like, dude, we're 2 weeks from the end of this. Like, you know, maybe you can talk Joe out of this. But at this point, like you said, ballots were out. We are, you know, I was $120,000 into this. I'm like, you run the race. You're here now. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
Get the job done and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, to me, you know, it's I actually believe it or not, I ran for Congress for like 5 months, like 7 years ago. And I knew I was going nowhere. And so my people, like my political people were like, because it was northern Wisconsin, had already moved way right. But I didn't. But it hadn't been really like polled that way yet. So. My political advisors were like, Kirk, drop out of the if you're going to get killed, drop out of this race because you don't want to have that just record of getting just annihilated, you know, as part of your record. So that's the only reason I'm thinking this. It's like these guys kind of probably put their egos in front of, you know, like a representative of democracy. You know, and so like, you know, we're going to get annihilated and our egos are too big to just feed numbers. Like shift to Mandela's like by like 60-40 or something like that. So to me, it was probably a little bit of narcissism that made everybody drop out of this race before the actual primary happened.
Yeah, look, it's you and I both know it's not easy, but like, yeah, I thought it was weird, and I'm grateful for this conversation because you're the first person that went, well, wait a second. I mean, we want people, you know, if you had supporters out there and they were volunteering for you, and we keep them fired up, and we go, okay, if you lose, then you say, hey, look, we now you do the let's come together part after the race, and
totally.
then you focus on Ron Johnson. That's how you do that.
Well, on the flip side, though, the good thing that happened that's not happening in the Republican primary in Wisconsin is that none of those guys turned on each other. So I think there probably was this political calculus that said, okay, we're down by 10 points, we're down by 15 points. The only way we're going to win is to start going negative on this on a fellow Democrat. And they knew that wasn't going to help anybody win in the general. So they didn't go negative, which was great. And now what we're seeing is these we got a hot Republican primary for governor, and Trump's candidate who is actually from Connecticut. He doesn't even live in Wisconsin, but he's like a billionaire. you know, is from Wisconsin but has a home and his kids go to school in Connecticut, whose Trump has backed, it just went negative on Rebecca Clefish, who is the who is Scott Walker's lieutenant governor, who's really terrible, but she's kind of the institutional favorite. And he went negative on her. And this is what happens. Like when you have money alone, and when you have people that really don't care about voters, really don't care about their state, they care about getting an office for themselves, then they'll go negative on their fellow party members.
Thank you. Are you listening, Lindsay? Thank you. No. And if you got someone like me, I think you realize I am relentless and I'm not going anywhere and I will hold people accountable. And but it goes back to the idea of not cannibalizing good Democrats for future, whether it's future office, future leadership, advocacy, all of those things, being advocates and being a voice. It's important.
What I don't understand is, Patty, it's like, why do you run for office to feed your ego? Because running for office is not fun, and neither is actually having a government role. I mean, it's you know, you get people hitting you all the time. It's like, why do you want this if you don't want to actually help society? You know, like your ego. There's a lot of better ways to feed your ego than being a politician, if you ask me. So I don't understand the people who just run for themselves and not run because they want to help their community.
Yeah, absolutely. So we talked about Kansas. We've got the primary coming up in Wisconsin, and then you were going to tell me about what's going on at the tasting room. And what's going on with the town?
Man,
you have your blacktop, your gravel parking lot. What's going on?
Yeah. So the town. This is crazy. Like the county and the town are just hate the fact that I exist, and. You know, I'm already now in four states, so it's like I'm way bigger than this tiny little town of Minocqua, and I have like 62,000 Facebook followers. So every time they do anything to me, I'm like the marshmallow man. Like I take the punch, but then I like suck it in and like I turn around and I break their arm off. You know, so they say I can't have a parking. They say I have to have a parking lot as opposed to a beer garden. So people can't even drink at my tap room right now, which is the most ridiculous thing. But little like powerhouse government stuff in these small towns don't really understand how ridiculous they look to a larger audience when they don't let a brew pub have a brewery have a tap room, you know. So they are making themselves look ridiculous in the eyes of most of Wisconsin, and especially the progressive Wisconsinites coming from like Madison and Milwaukee, and the folks in Chicago like Lori Lightfoot who come up there on vacation. They think the town looks ridiculous, you know, and it hurts tourism potentially, because why not go to the next town over that is not picking a fight with the most fun thing you can do when you're on vacation is go to a tap room and drink beer, you know?
It's so funny. It is so funny. So let me ask you. So I know that you've got a lot of locations in Chicago, though, where people can pick up Minocqua Brew and Progressive beers. When are you back in Chicago soon so we can hang out in the studio?
Oh, man. I got to come back soon. Because, Chicago's like saved my bacon. I'm not going to lie. Like we're growing faster in Chicago than even in Wisconsin right now. Probably I want to come back, and it's because of you guys and Jerry's helping out a ton, and it's really going great. So I'm probably going to try to get a little more time in the woods before the end of August to get a little more vacation, some hiking in, but for sure we're going to do some more events in Chicago when the fall hits. Oh, there's a great Oktoberfesty beer coming out in October that you're going to love. I can't say what it is, but it's the first one that alludes to the Republican Party that we've ever done before. So it's a little twist. And so I'm excited, you know, when the fall hits to come out with a new beer.
Well, outstanding. Well, Kirk, always great to hang out with you, and everyone can find the Minocqua Brewery, availability list on Monaco Brewery's page, and as well on their Facebook page, on their website, and the Patty Vasquez Show page. And my birthday's coming up later in August, and I've got a big party planned. So if you're free on August 19th, I'll send you the details. Just not because I want you to bring some beer.
I might be hiking in the woods somewhere, right. But I'll see what I can do.
All right. Have a great weekend, Kirk. Oh, so great to catch up with you. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
Thank you, my friend. Let's take a break here and then come back and say goodnight, because that's all the time I have for anything more after this on WCPT.
WCPT 820, Chicago's progressive talk, where facts matter.
I apologize to our friend Paul in Seattle. I know that conversation kind of went long, so thank you for hanging in there, and we'll talk to you next week, I hope. Whiskey and a Cookie on the Patty Vasquez Show page starts in a half an hour with Esmeralda Leon, Elliot Serrano, Adam Selzer, and maybe Scott Santas, because he never remembers if we're on or not. So check out our conversation there, Whiskey and a Cookie on the Patty Vasquez Show page. Thank you, Lady B. Thank you, everyone. Have a lovely weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Mike Kreutz up next with the Devil's Advocate.